I just want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to, to tell you what I do. It's my life's passion. It's something I'm really, really passionate about. Because my I feel I believe my whole goal is really helping people, become healthy and live healthy. Because without that, we are not able to do, what we are called to do in our lives. But I grew up in Africa, in Kenya. And my parents, after my dad actually after he retired, he was an architect, and he just bought land and he started, a ranch. And so, growing up, that's where I actually grew up. I was the baby in the home, so there's a very big gap between in me and my next sibling. So I was the baby, but I grew up here, and that's all I knew is to grow on the ranch and being able to live off of land. My grandmother lived with us, and she actually lived until she was 114 years old. And she was, yes, and she had a seventh grade education, but she knew every root, every tree, every plant, every nut, like literally everything. And so that's how she lived, just making concoctions of different things. And when I was 6 years old, I developed a stomach problem. And my parents, being educated and being more of the Western world, obviously they didn't go to my grandmother. They took me to hospitals, and it was hospital after hospital, throughout the country, outside the country, but nothing could actually heal me. And it was just an experiment. And obviously this was 50 years ago, where nobody, we didn't have the technology that we have now. So it was, nobody could diagnose what was wrong with me. And I remember, maybe when I was like, almost 8 years old, hearing the doctor say, yeah, we just need to do, an operation and open her up and see what is going on. And when I heard that, I just started crying, and I said, I begged my parents, please don't let them operate on me, because I'm going to die if they do. And I don't know why they believed me, but they said no. She said no, she doesn't want an operation, because if they couldn't find anything before, I mean, by operating on me, what are they going to do? But anyhow, this is when they actually, the doctor said, well, you can take her home, and she can die. And this is when my grandmother, all the whole of this time, she was like, I know what's wrong with her, and I can heal her. And my mom was like, oh no, we know what we're doing. But eventually they said, let's just give her, see what, if she's gonna die, she's gonna die. So let's try what my grandmother was offering. And I remember, I was 8 years old. I was in pain. I didn't know what she did, but I knew she went to, out in the fields and collected stuff, and she came and boiled it and, made concoctions of something. And literally, what I had suffered for 3 years, I was healed in 3 days. I have never since then had a stomach ache in my life. And I, it was, I didn't know what to do. I just wanted to live. And so, and I actually blocked it out completely because of the way I was in pain. But I know that I became afraid of hospitals, of doctors, that anytime I went close to a hospital, I was like hyperventilating, and I didn't know why. And it took me coming to the United States and watching Oprah, because I lived in Chicago, and she had on the panel, about, blocking things in when we are young. And I remember, like, it's a light came up on me, and I was like, oh my gosh. I remember calling my mom. Like, I didn't even say hi to her. She's in Kenya, I'm in Chicago. I called her and said, Mom, what happened to me when I was 6 years old? She was like, what are you talking about? She's like, what happened to me when I was 6 years old? Then I think then she remembered. She said, oh, you are very sick. And she told me the whole thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is why I had not been able to even go. I couldn't even go to to get, any kind of help, no matter what happened. And so then, but even before all this, I always tried to heal myself naturally, because I kind of got some things from my grandmother. And it's like, I knew in my spirit that if this happened, do this, and if this happened, do this, do that. And so when I came to the United States, the first thing obviously I noticed was, the food was very different. It tasted different, and I didn't, so I started to figure out that. And I was able to find people who actually knew, obviously told me about how the food was grown and all the stuff that they put in the food, and that's why it tasted different. And so I started on a journey, and this person that actually introduced me, she introduced me to this medical group. It's called, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it's called physicians who are committed to responsible medicine. So they're basically real doctors who went to school. They actually became sick and they couldn't heal themselves with the medical, but they actually went into health. And so they started practicing, you know, the natural medicine. And so I've been following them for the last 30 years. And
can you repeat that name? Physicians what?
Physicians Committed to Responsible Medicine. It's PCRM.
Thanks.
Yeah. And they started healing people of diabetes. They started healing people, you know, with food, with, you know, heart disease, all different kinds of diseases. And they have, you know, so many testimonies. And it's not one or two doctors. It's a whole bunch of doctors that are really, you know, committed to this. And so that's where I got most of this. When I was doing it for myself. I didn't, you know, I just wanted to be healthy, you know, because, you know, my body rejects, since I was sick, my body actually rejects medicine. And so I have to find a natural way to do it. And so when I was doing that, I was doing it for myself. And then when I moved to Georgia, I developed severe allergies, and I didn't know about allergies. And again, you know, so I was trying to do it natural. I went to chiropractors. I did all the things that I knew to do, but I would get better. And then, you know, it would start again. And for 3 years, I looked and I said, and I knew I did not want to go on medication. I knew I didn't want to get any injections, but a lot of people are not telling me that, you know, it was there, you know, I kind of knew it was an environment, but you have to know what is in the environment that is making you sick. Because, you know, for me, I tried to look for the root and then, you know, be able to get rid of that. And, you know, so I tried so many things that everybody was telling me to do. They would work one time and, you know, for a short time, and then I'll start something else and I'll start something else. And nothing was completely healing me the way I wanted to be, you know, 100% healed. And so I remember one time I was in a conference. It was a health conference. And, you know, a gentleman, because my face was always swelled up, my eyes was always swelled up. Actually, I have never gained my voice completely back because of the hacking and the, you know, all that stuff. That's the only thing that I haven't got 100% gotten back, because I used to be a soprano and I can't sing that high anymore. But he looked at me and said, "I know what's wrong with you." And I was like, "What do you mean?" Because he didn't even say hi to me. And he said, "You know, you have like very severe allergies, or you're probably even asthmatic." I said, "Yes." I said, "How did you know?" He's like, "Because I used to be like that." And then he ended up telling me, "Hey, there's something that I tried. I'd like you to try if you want." Because I told him, he asked me my story, and I told him everything I had tried. And he said, "You know, there's a technology that I have that actually helped me. And I think I don't know what it will do, but I will give it to you for 3 days. Just go try it out and just tell me what it is. I'm not selling it to you. I just want you to try it." And so I was like, I have tried everything, because I had bought, you know, air filters, purifiers, anywhere from $200 to $2,000. And none of them was helping me. And I told him this, and he said, "You know, just try, because this is the same thing that I've gone through." And so, you know, so this technology, he said, "Just go put it in your bedroom and see what happens." At this time, in the 3 year mark, I literally could not lay down flat on my bed, because I felt like there was an elephant sitting on my chest. So I slept, you know, sitting up with 4 or 5 pillows behind me, you know, just to be able to breathe. It was really, really bad. And, you know, so when I put this technology in, the first night, I had not slept actually 2 hours straight, you know, for almost 2.5 years. But I was actually, I didn't sleep, but I felt rested in the morning. And then the second night, I also was able to sleep for 5 hours. The third night, I remember, because I was still working and it was my day off, the third night, I slept for 10 hours straight. Mm-hmm. I did not get up. And I woke up and I literally almost didn't recognize myself, because all the swelling was completely gone. My eyes, which were always bloodshot, the shot disappeared. And I remember I didn't realize that I've actually lost my sense of taste, because I remember, you know, brushing my teeth and I tasted mint on my toothbrush. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that I had lost that. And so I was like, "My goodness, what is this?" So I called him, you know, I called the gentleman up and I said, "What is this? And, you know, what happened? What? Because I couldn't understand it. And that's when he actually told me about the technology and how it was based, how it was made, and why it did what it did. And so, and actually, I didn't mean to get into the business, but I started studying, you know, about air purification again on my own. I saw how many people, there are 100 million people who suffer with asthma and allergies alone. And they are the most misdiagnosed. They are the most, you know, over-medicated people in the medical field. And it is one of the things that actually take people to emergencies, you know, than anything else. And I was like, my goodness, you know, I have to do something, you know, because, you know, I love people. I love helping people and, you know, just being, seeing people healthy. And so, you know, I enrolled with indoor air quality and I started, you know, studying about that, you know, what happened, you know, and between the time that this gentleman did this, you know, I got the technology. He had, you know, he had suggested for me to test my home. And, you know, I realized that I didn't, you know, that my home, even though the mold wasn't so, it had so much mold in the house between the walls. I didn't know I had, there was, you know, people that had lived in the home had pets. And so when the carpet was taken off, I mean, you should have seen the bottom of the carpet. It was so bad. And all those are the things that I actually was allergic to. And they're the ones that were making me sick. And so, so, you know, so when they took those things out, obviously, and then cleaning my environment, that's how I started getting well. And so, and, you know, I was referring everybody to this gentleman because, you know, even when I went to work, I remember people were like, what happened to you? Did you get a facelift? Did you do this and this and that? I was like, no, I just got healed. And, but anyway, you know, eventually I just felt called to really help people because I had an understanding of it. And I had gone, I had experiences so I could talk to people about my experience. So, you know, what I tell people is, you know, like even here, I'm not here to sell anybody anything. I'm just here for education. But the reason I went with this company is because everything they do really lines up with, you know, my beliefs and my, the integrity of the company and what they do. And so that's my story. Does anybody have a question?
Well, what's the company?
The company is actually called Active Pure. That's a new name for it, but that's the technology name. But if everybody, most people, I'm sure, if you are familiar what's that old vacuum cleaner?
That everybody Rainbow? Had.
Not Rainbow. Oh my goodness! Now it has escaped me. Electrolux. Yeah. So that's the origin of the company. Yeah. So that's the origin of the company, and so you know they do everything literally for the home to make the home healthy, and so so they when they made this technology, you know the air purification that I'm talking about, it wasn't actually made for the home. It was made for the NASA space station because they wanted to see if they could grow food in space. And it actually worked really well because they recognized that it not only cleaned the air and they were able to grow food, but it actually cleaned everything that was on the surface of it. And so it was, it is actually in, you know, used in the NASA space station. It is used, it is in their Hall of Fame. And then, you know, it is used in all different kinds of places. And most people say they don't know about it, but, you know, unless you're looking for something, most of the time you don't hear about it. Something is not something that, you know, they advertise, you know, unless you know about it. But if you remember during 9/11, we actually were able to help people at the Pentagon go back to work when it was bombed, because they could not go back in because of the smoke and the toxins that were there. So we actually, you know, the company put in these purifiers and they were actually able to go back to work and they still have it today. We have so many other different companies that actually use it. You know, every Major League Baseball team in the United States and Canada actually use it in their locker rooms because they used to get a lot of, you know, infections in their feet, you know, from sweat and, you know, wet, you know, shoes. So they use it there as well. ESPN, major hospitals.
So it kills bacteria.
It kills MRSA. So if that tells you something. Yeah. And yes. And so, you know, some of the universities, you know, there are a lot of universities have done studies in it, but some of the big hospitals, MD Anderson actually use it in their hospitals. But the biggest one is you know, especially when COVID came out, the Cleveland Clinic, obviously they did not release the virus until the shot came out. And so we were the first to actually be given the virus to test it. And we were able to, the first time they did it, it was destroyed in less than 3 minutes. And then the second one they did, it was actually destroyed in less than a minute. And wow. So we were able to help a lot of companies, different places to actually open back up, for people to go back to open back up their offices and businesses.
Does it get the dust out of the air? You said
it does. Yeah, that's the beauty of it, because, most
of the dust.
I'll tell you the story. Most of the people, everything in the purification industry, they have to take the air in. Ours does not take air in; it actually outputs. So that's why it's called active. The others are they are not active; they are passive. So the passive takes the air in, the active puts the air out, and so it removes it out of the breathing space. And I can tell you, one of the things that I noticed after I put the technology in, at first you will see a lot of dust when you do that, because it's dropping everything and everything that is coming through the air filtration system. And so you'll see the dust, but eventually, like, you see less and less dust. And I can tell you today that I dust when I'm cleaning, but literally there's nothing. And it actually, for people, one of the other things I noticed that wherever I had carpet, it actually fluffs up the carpet, because it is releasing all the dust and anything that falls on it. And I remember people asking, oh, did you have a new carpet? I was like, no, because it's releasing everything. And it's like when you walk in, like when you have a new carpet and you walk on it and you leave your marks. So that's what it does. And so it actually penetrates anything. The only thing it does not penetrate is glass and metal. But that's why it is able to actually penetrate even the walls, because, like I said before, by the time you see mold, it is all over the home. So it's actually able to reach there and clean it out. Obviously,
it kills mold inside the walls?
It kills mold inside the walls.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
How long did that take to kill it, all the mold in the house?
It depends on the home, because obviously it depends. We usually tell people anytime, any place in between, 5 days, and sometimes depending on the size of the home, for you to see the results, I'm saying, we usually tell people it takes about 30 days, but most people see it before then. But depending on the pollution in the home, it might take that long. But in the meantime, people are healing. In the meantime, you're not breathing out of that. You're not breathing all that stuff that is in the air.
Does it have a smell?
No, it doesn't.
No smell at all.
No smell. Wow. It does not have smell. Yeah, because I was allergic to. I became so allergic to smells that I could not. I didn't. Anytime I smelled something, even just a sniff of something, yeah. And one of the things I love about it is, like when you cook fish and 3 days later, people would come to your house and they know you ate fish. So when I cook for people, it'd be like, oh, you say, I love curry. So, oh, you said you'd make curry. And they come in, and it's like, you didn't make curry? I'm like, I made it. It's like, we can smell it. I was like, I have a purifier that takes care of that. Wow. So when you start cooking, actually you smell it. But after a minute, then you don't smell it. So it's pretty cool.
So how does it work?
It's a very small, we have different ones depending on the size of the home or depending on like offices and stuff like that. But the ones for the home are very small. It's a very small unit. Think about two shoe boxes put together. Uh-huh. That's how big it is. And you just plug it in and it goes to work.
Wow.
Yeah. So just push a button and it starts working. I remember I had some clients, during the fire, the last fire from Canada, they were up in New York. And one of the ladies, and she has very, very bad asthma. She said the air in the home, in her house, because when it's in the home, it's contained. So, it's not going to, she was actually better off staying outside than being in the home. And I remember she bought the technology and she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I can actually stay in the home. So she was able to actually, actually be able to, stay indoors now more than she was staying outside.
Wow.
So I think, you might want to explain the actual technology. I looked up, it has PCO technology. Is that true?
Basically it does that, because what it does, it actually mimics nature. So if you ever gone outside, during a thunderstorm, and you feel how fresh it is, that's what it actually mimics. Because in nature, there is ozone, but it's not dangerous, you know, unless, you know, obviously, when, you know, when there's a thunderstorm. So that's what that is.
But it's not, it doesn't generate ozone, does it? I thought it was something different. It was like, they described it as UV light shining on titanium inside the module. Mm-hmm. And then it puts out the ions from there.
Yeah, so it has five different, well, they have a new one now that has seven different technologies, but that I don't know which one you're looking at, which has like the five different technologies.
Well, I was looking at the link that I got from, you sent to Jean. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to see how it worked, and it mentioned PCO technology. So then I looked up what that is.
Mm-hmm. What does PCO mean?
It's
I forget.
Yeah. Give me one second. Oh my God. Why is it escaping me? It's escaping. I was sending it to you when it.
It may be a term that Electrolux made up for their company. I don't know.
No, give me one second. I'll get it for you.
No, it was like an official technology.
Yeah, it stands for photocatalytic oxidation.
That's what I was looking for. I'm sorry. Okay. I can't even say it. Photocatalyst. Yeah, because I had it in my notes, and there's a note I couldn't find. Yeah.
It says it utilizes light energy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it literally just mimics, you know, thunderstorms, you know, because they measured whatever chemistry is in the thunderstorm is actually what is in it.
So do you keep it running all the time?
I keep it running all the time. It literally uses the like a light bulb, you know, that's how much energy it uses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the ozone, mm-hmm. because I work for a company called Alpine. Mm-hmm. Which used the result was the same thing, mm-hmm. But they use low levels of ozone. But if you for instance, I had mold in my basement 24/7, mm-hmm. it always mm-hmm. smelled musty, so I had that down there, and I switched, there was a switch on the back and I could turn it on high, but you don't want to breathe that much ozone.
It has that as well, but it's an option. So, and what we tell people, like maybe on Saturday afternoon or Sunday when you're going to church or, you know, going for shopping, you can turn it on and it can give you, you know, you can put it on for 1 hour, 2 hours. And we have two separate ones, one that completely doesn't have that and one that does that, because like places in Canada or California, they don't allow any kind. So, yeah, but we do have that option.
So when lightning strikes, mm-hmm. And also at the seashore, there's more ozone in the woods and in the seashore. It creates ozone. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to put together how this PCO, mm-hmm. How that relates to ozone, or is it completely separate? It's light energy. It does turn into ozone.
Yeah. And that's the difference, because it's a different kind of ozone. Cause the ones that is caused by, you know, like the ones that comes from, that is done by, because it's a chemical. What you're talking about is the chemicals that are done by all the stuff that we have done to the world that makes it actually dangerous when it mixes with that. But the lightning, that's the way the nature was made to actually clean itself. So it's not dangerous.
Well, Alpine did not put out a chemical. It just created natural ozone.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, it creates that within it because of the five different things that is combining.
Yeah. Now, when the scientists, or you hear on the weather station, sometimes mm-hmm. they say the ozone level is too high for the, mm-hmm. they're using that as a measurement for the pollution. So when the ozone levels are high, it's because the pollution is high.
Right.
And that's nature's way of breaking down the pollution.
Yeah, but they don't distinction that. They just say the ozone is bad. They don't distinction that it's all the other stuff that is causing it to be.
This sounds like the same, Electrolux is doing the same thing as Alpine, maybe not the same degree, maybe the result is the same. But with the alpine, that ozonator, I don't remember them claiming that it penetrated walls. I know it penetrated porous surfaces. And it, if the ozone is too high, it can degrade anything that's plastic. It'll break down plastic. So if you have exercise equipment or foam or something in the room, you don't want it exposed to high ozone levels.
I can honestly tell you there are times when, especially when the air is really a little bad, that it actually will enter. I actually sleep with it on, the ozone.
Yeah, my purifier, I still have one. I put on the low setting, that is okay. And you can feel it clean out your sinuses.
You can, exactly, yeah. So it's not that dangerous, where it's not in that level where it is, you know, because there are commercial ones that do that. And that's the ones that just put out ozone to kill something, and then you have to be outside the home.
Like right. When, yeah. This one is either or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because you don't want ozone levels above a certain amount because it creates free radicals. And that's what, when it gets in your lungs, can do damage to your lungs.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, one time when we were training, you know, one of the people asked, you know, had the same concerns. And, you know, one of the scientists said that if you put, like, 10, I can't remember how many things you said. It has to, you have to put like in the bathroom, you have to fill it up, you know, and then turn it all on for it to be as dangerous as, you know, some of the ones that are actually the ozonators. So you know, this one has very, very low levels of, you know, the
ozone. With the alpine, you could adjust how much the square footage of your room, is that what Electrolux is?
You can adjust how much.
Basically, it sounds like this had an ionizer and ozone capability, both. So, yeah, I would like to look into that a little bit more and compare them. Yeah.
Okay.
When I looked up the PCO technology, it had to do with titanium, shining the UVC light onto a titanium inside the module. And then that created these. It wasn't specifically ozone. It was another type of ion that came out, and it landed on surfaces. So that's how it killed, specifically on surfaces in the air too. But I don't understand the difference.
So would the titanium be the active, would the titanium sort of, like, I'm thinking colloidal silver, would the titanium act as the killer?
It had something to do with it.
Oh, interesting.
Does this have ozone plates inside of it?
It didn't seem to. Like, when I was looking specifically at the PCO technology, it said a UV light shining on titanium, and that would put out the ions, whatever the ions were.
Now, I know.
Monica, do you know the technical stuff?
No, I just know that, you know, I had them already, and it's all mixed up now. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We're a tough crowd.
I know. I believe you. That's why I love it. We're patient, though.
We're patient. Don't worry. Yeah, well, while you're doing that, I was thinking the Alpine, which was very popular, then the FDA came after them, and I believe I don't think they totally went out of business, but they changed everything around because the FDA did not like the fact that they were producing ozone. So that would be interesting to see if that's where Electrolux picked up, you know, what year that was. And then Electrolux used something similar, but the FDA approved it, maybe. That's what I'm thinking might have happened.
Well, this was, I'm going back to, you know, the ages that you're talking about, Nancy, you know, the good old days when we thought the FDA did something. I remember many people, you know, I knew, like, I don't know, a couple hundred anyway, chemically sensitive people back then. And a lot of them were buying Alpine air cleaners. And some of them actually, they got too much ozone in their system, and it caused asthma eventually. At first they thought it was doing a great job, but I know the woman down the street here was running Alpine all the time, and eventually she got asthma, because, you know, what kills something is going to kill eventually kill our own or damage our own cells, right?
Yeah. And depending on your immune system, because that's the biggest thing. It's kind of like, you know, people, you know, you can take one thing and it kills you, and then somebody else is allergic. So it depends mm-hmm. on the immune system.
Well,
and where,
ozone
where
is a free radical. Yeah, mm-hmm. ozone's a free, very unstable free radical. But mm-hmm. the problem, I think, with Alpine was it had the switch. I used to repair them. I used to sell them and then repair them.
Wow.
And the problem with Alpine was they have a switch on the back, a little tiny switch. And if you mistakenly did not turn the switch on the low setting, you could be hit with high, high amounts. And then with the square footage, somebody had to adjust that. If you had it too high for your square footage, you mm-hmm. would be getting higher exposure. So I think that's where the pitfall for that company was, is because people were self-regulating and mm-hmm. then harming themselves.
I used to have one, and it said, I remember it saying that you had to adjust it to just below where you could smell it. That's why I asked Monica if it had a smell. Yeah. Just below where you could smell it. If you could smell it, it was too high.
Right. And many people had it. I was looking for a new house at the time, and we went to the finished basement. And I, of course, I had an Alpine, and I knew right away these people had that Alpine ripping down in that basement. Ah, I call it ripping. It was on high, high. We shouldn't even been in the room. And I looked at my mother, and I said to the guy, "Do you have an Alpine in here?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm sorry, it's irritating me. I'm going to have to go." Because right away I could feel it was not good for my lungs.
Way too high.
Yeah, we actually have, you know, it has actually been cleared. The active pure itself has actually been cleared by FDA as a medical for medical. Did you have a
Monica?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If someone has like sinus congestion, you know, and they get sinus problems now and then, would the personal one help with that?
I believe it would, but, you know, I'm not sure. But because for me, because of the sinuses, you know, the one that helped me was, the you know, when I had it in the home. But I don't think it has been tested for that. But I believe, you know, just breathing fresh air, you know, because it's what is clearing. But I can say for sure.
So even if you turn mirrors in your house all the way up, you don't smell any kind of ozone-y smell?
When I turn the ozone on, I have to turn it like really high for me to smell it. But I turn it low when I'm going to sleep, mm-hmm. and it doesn't.
And does the ozone? Does it work without ozone, or does it?
Oh yeah,
ozone...
it works without. You know, you have to actually turn it on, like, and you can, you know, you have to turn it on for the ozone to come on.
And what's the machine made out of? Is it plastic or metal?
The outside is plastic. It's uh-huh. not metal. Yeah. And I think I think did you have the machine itself in the things that Jean sent you, Connie?
It took me to the web page, and really the only thing it said about how it worked was the PCO technology. So then I looked up PCO technology, and I actually found one study in Google Scholar, and
if you go to activepure.com, so it has all the studies and absolutely everything in there.
Activepure.com?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. So this, how do you spell it?
Active. Like just ACTIVE.
VE, okay.
VEPure.com.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, for all those of you that live in Philly, you know, most of the schools, because, you know, Philadelphia is one of the largest the schools with kids with asthma and allergies. Mm. So we put a lot of the schools, we were allowed to actually put them in the schools. So a lot of the schools in Philadelphia are, have the technology in there.
So it's the, on the titanium, the PCO setting, and to reiterate that, you don't have to use mm-mm. the ozone setting.
No, you don't have to.
And it will penetrate walls. But if it penetrates walls, then it's penetrating us as well. And I'm wondering how far does it penetrate? You know, does the titanium actually show up in the walls? Have they done studies like, does it penetrate the walls, and does the titanium penetrate the wall or go on the surface? Because that's going to end, whatever it is, if anything goes on to something, it's going to go in your lungs.
Yeah.
I've had titanium poisoning from my supplements years ago.
Wow.
And I had to have chelation to remove the titanium and lead and everything else that was in there.
Because we had an issue with mold recently, and we also have a basement that's potentially ongoing with mold because we have a sump pump and our house is over a body of water or stream. You don't see the actual mold growing, but you can smell it. And I just feel terrible when the house is closed up. In all honesty, would it be best to get someone to come out and test to see what the levels are with an ERMI test and then go from there and see if this is going to be a potential ongoing problem? I can't see putting a couple of machines in the basement fixing the problem.
Is there a way to fix where the water is coming from or the moisture?
No, because there's an actual body of water under the foundation.
Oh.
And there's a curtain drain that's dug around the basement to prevent flooding in the basement. So in that respect, it's good because, knock on wood, we've not had any flooding in our basement.
Yeah.
However, it's not overly humid. I mean, my husband did try to insulate the ceiling at one point, and it made the humidity levels clock up, and I told him to rip out all of the insulation in the ceiling. It's got to go because it just was increasing the insulation and humidity in the basement itself, causing silverfish to come in the basement.
Do you have a dehumidifier down there?
We do. We have one, but I'm thinking we probably need to get two and have two running on a regular basis. And then actually I'm wondering, I know the Alpines are very old, but I do have two Alpine machines that are still in working condition. And I'm thinking maybe running both of them along with the dehumidifier.
Darlene, I think I can answer that. I'm also in Connecticut, everybody. Have the same situation. Same exact situation. It's not always smelling musty, sometimes a little bit, but I have a designated stream between me and the other house next to me, which is only 20 feet away from me.
Right.
When it rains, we have a designated stream from the town. Wetlands is up the hill behind me. And so it all comes down. We have a sub pump, same situation. I ran my Alpine. I just let it rip on the high setting.
Okay.
But you want to close the door. It took care of everything for me. I don't know how big your basement is.
It's not big. Our house is under 1,000 square feet.
Yeah. So it took care of it. But I let it rip for about 3 days. Okay. You can put a timer on it and have it turn off. And then after about 6 hours, you could probably, after it's off, you can go to the basement. If you have windows you can open,
okay,
you can then open them and clear it out and then shut the windows right away again. But okay. I put under the basement door, you want to seal that off under the door because the ozone smell will come up to the living area.
Okay.
So you want to keep... Yeah, but you need to get a timer. Otherwise, it's not going to be really safe.
Okay.
And have a timer. I mean, you can time it. You know, I don't know how the timers work. I don't know if you can put it on for 3 days. Probably not. But you can let it rip for, you know, 12 or 20 hours a day. Let it turn off and do that three or four times. But I think in about 3 days, that'll clear it up. And then after that, you want to put it in a high place. I built a shelf underneath the main floor, so it's high in a high spot over your or on a big shelf up towards the ceiling of the basement. You want it high because the ions work also to help the ozonator reach all the area.
Okay.
And then you can I was just leaving it on maintenance level, then turn the ozonator part off.
Okay.
And just let it. Now, in the winter, I really didn't need it too much because my oil burner's down there and dries everything out.
Okay.
But it depends on, like Monica said, how sensitive you are and what your needs are.
I'm really sensitive at this point only because of my most recent exposure. And then we also have a car that has mold in it as well. So I'm just constantly being bombarded on a daily basis. So it's...
You can put it in the car too. You might want to start there.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
Bring an extension cord, put the unit in the car, but... you know, it can degrade plastics and so forth.
Yeah, my unit is a good size unit. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, you have the one I have, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I would let it rip for, you know, maybe 5 hours or so. And then you're outside.
I try it a lot shorter. You know, I try like
15 minutes and air it out and see how it is incrementally increases. It doesn't work.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have one system?
But when you're putting it in your car, keep in mind that the ozone also, because I ozonated my car for other reasons, and it did damage to the electrical system.
Okay, I'm concerned about. I don't want to damage anything in the car. We're almost down to one car now, so it's like the other car is over 25 years old. So.
You know what? Car dealers ozonate the cars, like used cars, to resell and get the smoke out. Okay. You can even call a car dealer and ask them how long they ozonate it for.
Okay, great.
We have to have one for the car as well. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
That you just leave it in with it. Then, like I said, I use mine like when I go to a hotel or.
It doesn't damage anything.
It doesn't damage anything.
Is that the active pure you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it can be run, Monica, without the ozone, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm gonna put my website so you guys can see that.
Good. Yeah.
Because you can see, because we have all different ones, different sizes.
So, is this Air and Surface Pro? Is that your website, Monica?
That's the one I use for ads. The one that does. Did it come with a little video, a short video?
It's in the chat. I'm just
no. Somebody asked the name of the technology. The unit.
Okay. Can you put Oh, there it is. Okay.
I was gonna ask you. Do you have the like one unit for the whole home? You know, like your air and heat and air? Is it one unit with your basement?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know I have a similar setup as Nancy. We're both in Connecticut, so I don't have an HVAC system. It's baseboard heating, and I have an oil burner down in the basement.
That's the only concern I would have, because if you have one and you put the ozone on, it will go everywhere to the whole house.
Yeah, no, we don't have that type of vent system. It's just baseboard heating. But I do have something already at the door upstairs that's blocking the smells from coming up, because when you literally open the basement door, you can smell it's almost a musty smell, but it's also almost just a swampy smell because of the standing water underneath the foundation and the open sump pump area.
You can have the you can have a company, it's expensive, but you can have a company come in and seal off your sub pump. And then if you have an electrical failure, they'll have a battery backup too.
Okay. Yeah, we do. We have like a makeshift sump pump cover, but we also have an open drain where the curtain drain is, or the French drain is inside the basement underneath the foundation. And there is an open drain by the hatchway area. So I'm assuming that the smells are coming up from the open drain in the basement. And I don't think we can cover that drain, because if it does get wet down there, it won't drain into the French drain or the curtain drain. So I think a lot of the smells and the bacteria and potentially mold is coming up through that open drain. It's literally an open drain in our basement. And I don't know what we can do about that. I mean, it was like that when we bought the house. And like I said, we're grateful, because during the flooding in Connecticut in 2005, we got nothing in our basement, and houses two streets over were so flooded, they had to be boated out of their area. It was so flooded and their basements were destroyed. But I just don't know what to do about that open drain. It's very concerning. I feel like it's a never ending battle if that drain is open to the water supply underneath that rises when it gets wet and then goes down when it's dry. You know, it's kind of an ongoing, it's not just a matter of a sump pump. It's also the matter of the curtain drain inside underneath the foundation with the open drain to everything. I don't see how that's.
Yeah, I have open pipes going into my sub pump, but I don't get a smell from them. They're very wide pipes, maybe 4 inches around.
Are they enclosed?
No.
What do you mean they're open?
But maybe I get enough flow. I don't know. Maybe it's just the composition of the water. Or maybe your problem is a little bit worse and you have some other organisms at play there.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like what you just said, is because there's literally a standing stream underneath the street in our house, and our actual storm drain in front of our house at the end of our driveway is always full of water. always full of water.
I have the same thing. A storm drain at the end to catch that river.
Totally, yeah, totally full of water. I actually called the town, had them come out. They were suctioning all the stuff out of everyone's storm drain, and nothing came out of ours. It was just constantly full of water. And it still is. Doesn't matter how drought we are or not. Oh,
you know why ours keeps flowing? Because the storm drain goes under the road, and there's a big gully. It dumps it out into the open to a big gully with a stream that goes down to the park at the bottom of the hill. So I might be a higher elevation, and the gravity is moving that water, just moving it faster. It's not
ours
sitting.
Ours doesn't move. That's my concern. Okay. Is that it's just always sitting. So I think whatever's always sitting in that storm drain is always sitting under our basement as well. There's no movement. And that's making all of that stagnant water underneath the foundation coming up through that curtain drain.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And who knows what's growing there?
Exactly. I have never felt well since we moved into this house 20 years ago. So it's just like, I'm always tired, joint pain, you know, all of the stuff that goes along with exposure to bacteria and mold. And I just, you know, hiring a basement person might be the answer, but I don't know. You know, that's more money. It's never ending.
Well, do you think, I guess you already have the Alpine and the dehumidifier, and if you ran that more, do you think that would help?
I think it would take the edge off, but I think because it's an ongoing issue with standing water from the street underneath our house and into our yard, basically, that I don't see how that can ever be fixed unless the town comes out to fix the problem, you know. And I
if it's a stream, what's the town gonna do?
Nothing. And I actually had them come out and ask them to check our storm drain. And they told me there was nothing wrong with the storm drain. And this was in the middle of a drought, and it was full of water, and it wasn't draining. It was just sitting.
It's
wow. It's yeah.
So, Monica, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you should keep, you know, like, you know, keep it running.
Okay.
You know, and see what happens. Because I think it would take that edge, especially the smell. Because you can't do anything about what is underneath, but you can do what is in the home.
Yeah, okay. What's
smelling it? Yeah, not smelling it and not breathing it, you know, should help. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. I would try the ozonator that you have.
Okay.
And if that doesn't satisfy you, then, you know, running a dehumidifier, the prices of electricity in Connecticut is skyrocketing.
It's ridiculous.
I would put the money into having like all things basement tea come out. Yeah. And they'll do a free estimate.
Great.
They work with basements all the time in Connecticut.
Yeah, I see their truck everywhere lately.
Yeah, I know, I do too. There's been a lot of rain.
Yeah.
Don't forget, if you've been living with mold this long, it's probably living in your body.
It is.
Yeah. You need to take the binders and whatever. I think we covered that before.
Yeah.
Powder Arco tea is good against fungus. Fungal, yeah. Every other kind of infection there is just about.
Yeah.
How about Lyme disease?
No, Lyme disease, I treat Lyme with the Rife machine and a combination of other things.
Cystis tea.
That's right, Cystis tea. Yeah, follow Klinghart.
Klinghart.
He's like,
has to be from Italy, though, this certain place.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I have a Rife machine.
So what did you say the name of the tea is from Italy?
Cystus. I think it's Cistus. And you get it from Key Science.
Key Science is K-I Science.
Yeah, Key Science, K-I. And they're in the UK. So it's a little expensive for shipping. But
Is that ongoing maintenance, or is that like after you've already treated the Lyme itself? Like, I know chronically it can be in your body forever, and I'm pretty confident I've had Lyme since the age of 18, along with exposure to mold in our house growing up with various other viruses. But do you just drink the tea as an ongoing maintenance after you've been treated for the Lyme?
Well, it can treat Lyme, actually.
It does.
It uses it for treatment, yeah.
Okay.
And maintenance, I would think.
Okay. Yeah, when you have chronic Lyme, antibiotics don't work, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, homeopathics for Lyme are very good too. I had, I think, Bartonella, haha, because that's my last name is Barton. My husband thought that was hysterical. Ehrlichiosis and babiosis all from one tick one time. And I was taking the homeopathics, I think, for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, you'd start off on 20 drops and then, you know, maybe 10. And then I was down to one a day in the morning just for maintenance. And I take homeopathics every day anyway. And it does eradicate it completely. The Lyme will try to go dormant, but the homeopathics will help you eradicate it, and you'll never hear from it again.
Where can I get more information on that, Nance?
Dr. Riley.
Dr. Riley, okay. That's on my to-do list, yep.
Well, I was just
Nancy, just out of curiosity, do you think you've spent $2,500 on the homeopathics?
No.
No, it's not that expensive.
Okay. Oh, no. Each bottle is 2 ounces. And it's about $10 to $12 a bottle. And okay, if I only take
you're comparing it to the Rife machine, Connie?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, I mean, if you have a Rife machine, you can literally treat anything. I just got the COVID frequencies programmed in, and I don't know. I've treated hundreds of people with this thing. And most of the people with chronic Lyme, if they come regularly, they don't, it gets rid of it.
We should all chip in as Connecticut people.
Yeah.
Get one. You can find them used.
Yeah, but don't get, like, just get a GB4000. Don't get, like, True Rife or some of these Facebook. I know a woman, she got all better, and she wanted to get her own Rife machine, and instead of getting the GB4000, she got suckered in on Facebook and bought a True Rife, and it's totally worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Robert Roy from Two Feathers, the Native American, he says. He doesn't think any Rife machines work, but Connie has tried it.
Oh my goodness.
She knows it works.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
So is there anything else? I like your website, Monica. I went to that, and there's a lot of information on just being healthy.
We call it healthy inside out, outside in.
Yeah.
Could you say your website one more time?
My website?
It's in the chat. It's
on I can't get the chat for some reason.
Oh. Okay. Why don't we just email it?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. My chat is blank. I don't know why.
Monica, can you give us a quick tip on, like, laundry instead of using laundry detergent?
Did you see that technology for laundry?
Any way without chemicals? I mean, right now I had to bleach something white, and I don't like using bleach.
Yeah,
I don't usually. The bottle will probably last 5 years or more, but I, you know, I'd rather use something that's effective.
And, yeah, we actually have a technology that has the same active pure for laundry.
Mm.
And so it's a technology actually attached to the washer. And it actually, you know, cleans the water to clean your clothes, so you never have to use detergents again.
Mm.
And so you know, when they first made it, they made it, you know, for hotels, because imagine all the major chain hotels, you know, and hospitals, they don't use, you know, detergents, because you can imagine how much they'll be using. So they use
I don't use detergent, but sometimes I have to use bleach or Zout and let it and scrub it. And you know, will it whiten whites? Will it make them very white?
It does whiten whites, yeah. And all you have to do is, you know, just soak them for, you know, you could soak them for a few minutes and, you know, and then just rub.
Yeah, I have very, very hard water. So I usually add vinegar. That's how I clean my clothes, is with vinegar.
And you can also add some salt to it, to the water. Yeah.
Okay. Won't salt break down the fibers, though, of your clothes?
I mean, you don't put a lot. It's just to, you know, because it softens the water some. I just use, you know, regular, you know, I don't use iodized soap, you know, but, you know, whenever I'm somewhere that I don't have my unit, you know, I just put, you know, just a tablespoon of salt. Less than a tablespoon
of salt.
How
much salt?
You know, like about a tablespoon of salt in the wash.
Yeah, I know in college I had white pants, and I lived in Buffalo, and there was salt all the time in the winter. So people wouldn't slip on the ice, and it ate through my pants.
No, it's just like table salt, the regular table salt that you cook with. Yeah.
Oh, D. Another herb you could use for Lyme, you could try, is Prima Una Dagata. Did you ever try that?
No, no. Can you spell it?
P-R-I-M-A, Prima, and a new word, U-N-A, Prima Una, D apostrophe, I think, G-A-T-O. I think that's how you spell it.
It's okay. It's cat's claw, but it's a specific strain of cat's claw. The Amish use that along with grapefruit seed extract together. Okay. I think the grapefruit seed breaks down the biofilm. But okay. I guess I use serrapeptase to break down biofilm.
Me too. Okay. I had Lyme for a year and took a bunch of antibiotics, and it kept coming back every time I stopped the antibiotic. And then I tried a different antibiotic because the other one didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
I stopped my Lyme about 3 days after starting the Prima Una Dagata. It worked.
Did you feel a lot of a difference in just your symptoms? So after stopping it,
when I stopped the Prima Una Dagata,
when you went through all that process and you realized that the Prima Una Dagata was the answer, did you start to feel some of the symptoms wax away or?
Well, as soon as I started it, within 3 days, my brain cleared. I had a lot of neurological issues, and my brain was so much better within just a couple of days. And I only took a small amount. And
okay.
I actually technically never stopped it because I was afraid it was going to come back, like with antibiotics. Yeah. So I still take a little bit every day.
So are you on antibiotics? Are you doing the antibiotics at all?
No.
Didn't work. No, and actually, my first few symptoms. Younger, not to get off topic, obviously the mold kicked it in, but I obviously had a tick bite when I was younger. I live in Connecticut. We were at the beach all the time. And my first issue was vision and cognitive issues, severe to the point I had to quit college. I couldn't read, retain, see. I was bedridden pretty much from overwhelming fatigue. So no doubt in my mind, I've had Lyme living throughout my body and other co-infections for the last 45 years or so, 50 years. But my son is exhibiting similar symptoms and has always since he was little. And just don't know if there's any truth to passing it through the placenta or not. But
I had a friend many years ago that she had the big rash. This was when Lyme was first a thing. And her blood test came out negative for Lyme. Yeah. But when she had a baby, the baby immediately tested positive for Lyme.
Okay.
So it was passed on.
It was passed. And I'm thinking that he has potentially gotten it from me through birth. He's had nothing but from birth. He's had night terrors, leg joint pain, chronic fatigue, exhaustion, cognitive stuff, feeling dizzy. And, the Lyme tests always come back negative, so no one's willing to treat.
Their treatments don't work anyway.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
I mean, mainstream medicine to me is a waste of just about anything.
Yeah, yeah. And I just feel bad because, he's in his 30s and he's struggling so hard like I did. And when I started having symptoms, it was in the 70s. Nobody talked about Lyme in the 70s, mm-hmm. like late 70s. There were no such things as Lyme tests back in the 70s, going to see a doctor for Lyme disease. Nobody talked about that.
And well, to this day.
It's questionable. Yeah.
I wouldn't go. I can't remember the last time a doctor did anything for me.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
The funny thing was, the one time I went to the hospital, I broke my leg and they put on the cast and they were just wonderful. And they sent me to this orthopedic doctor for the broken, they took off my cast and they didn't replace it. And I said, I can feel the bone move when I move my leg. And the guy said, don't move your leg.
Oh,
and he walked out of the office.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. And so a friend brought me a boot.
That's a nut for you. I mean, doctor or no doctor.
That was my one time I went to the doctor for help.
Yeah, I can tell you the last time I went, because obviously when I was working, we had to go for physical in order to get insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went, and the doctor, I'd gone to the same doctor, like forever. And so I went this time, I think I just turned, 40, 45, 48, something like that. And he said, so he gave me like great reviews. Oh, your blood work is great. You're this and this. And we sat down and he wrote me a prescription.
Oh, what? Oh, don't tell, it was a statin, right?
Exactly.
I didn't even look at it. I was like, what for? He just gave me a great deal of help. And he got so mad that I asked him.
Oh my God.
I just said, you're fired. And I walked out. That was the last time. That was the last time. Yeah, I was like, all these years you've told me, you know, you've never said anything at all that is wrong with me. And today, it's like, oh, now that you're this age, go on medication.
I bet it was a stab.
I think about it, how many people just begin and don't question.
Yeah. And how many people are suffering because of it?
Oh, I have like three or five people who were put on medication when they had no signs, but because their parents had something to prevent it. And I know how they live, you know, they really live well, you know, taken care of, but they put them on medication. But, you know, when the doctor says something, you do it, you know.
Yeah. And, that's all I know how to do.
It's like, my mom was put on statins for 20 years. And she developed dementia. Mm-hmm. Who knows if it's from that or not? But yeah, when we said something to the doctor, she says, "Oh, it was only a preventative, so she didn't need it."